Good evening and welcome to Paranormal or What podcast with me, your host, Michaela Ford. Hello everybody, I'm back! Sorry I've been away for a while, but it's all been a little bit tricky sorting out my eldest son's GCSEs and all that sort of stuff. But it's alright, because I'm back now. And you know what? I've been doing a little bit of a chat with Ash and Greg from Pursuit of the Paranormal podcast. And that's what's going to be happening this evening. So brace yourselves, it's really fun. And I've also got some other interviews lined up. So we're back. The ball is rolling, people. The paranormal ball is rolling across the ghostly floor. So sit back, enjoy yourselves, and listen to me nattering away with Ash and Greg from Pursuit of the Paranormal, and boy, have they been busy.
Hello and good evening and welcome to Paranormal or What podcast with me, your host, Michaela Ford, and we are currently all holding up copies of Ash and Greg's new book, Paranormal United States.
Yes. Exciting.
Now, I have been trying to read this very fast, but I haven't quite managed yet. I was on the beach today trying to read it, and my son said, "Did you finish that book you were reading?" I said, "No, but I did finish four chapters." And I like it. It's very good. It's very meaty. It's bigger than I thought it would be.
I get that a lot.
For anybody who's thinking, oh, it's just going to be one of those little slender booklets, it's not. It's a proper book with lots of meaty pages, over 231. Yeah.
231 pages in total.
There you go, of delight and horror. So my first question has to be, when did you start thinking about this, and how did it happen? And tell me about how it all started.
So the idea for the book came about, it was June 2022. So it took us a bit over a year to actually, from starting to write it to actually finishing it and publishing it end of July, last month. But the actual, because it's Paranormal United States is the name of the book. And that was the name of a series that we did on our podcast.
Yeah.
I'm Shooting the Paranormal. So about 2 years ago, we were in the first year of our podcast, and we were doing one episode a week at the time, which is still quite a feat. The two of us getting guests, doing research, editing, everything that goes into making a podcast.
Yeah.
And then we interviewed a guy called Jerry Pawley and his wife, and they host the Hillbilly Horror Stories podcast over in the States. They're massively popular in the States.
Yeah.
And we're talking about them and their podcast. And they do an episode every single day.
Oh my goodness.
On their podcast. And I was just blown away by, I was thinking, how can you do that many episodes a week? But I was inspired by it. I said to Greg straight away, like, I want to be doing more episodes. I really enjoy doing one a week. And that can be hard sometimes, but I want to do more. Devote more time into it, and we're thinking, what could we do that is something that we could add to our sort of podcast week? Because what they do in Hillbilly Horror Stories is they have their full length episodes that are over an hour, like we do on a Tuesday, and they have short episodes, so 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And they have different sort of series, sort of like certain series goes on for a few months, and then they do something else. And that's what I want to do, maybe do a series that we do on a Saturday, and it's a shorter length episode. But we think about what we could do. We both like traveling, both like going to America. As we're in, there's 50 states in America. One episode a week, that's pretty much a year's worth of content. It's a year-long series that we could do.
Yeah.
So that's how it sort of came about. We thought we'd just alphabetical order, start with Alabama and then Alaska, Arkansas, and so on. and we each kind of took a week, so we alternated each week. So one person would research, prepare, and lead the episode. And the other person wouldn't know what they want to talk about. And the week after, it would swap. So you can kind of only do in like one research bit every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So it gave us that time to each of us be able to do it. And then, yeah, we just started that series in end of 2021. And that finished around this time last year, actually, that in the year-long series, which is when we thought about the idea where we're thinking, got a potential for a book here that could be like a companion guide.
Yeah.
Where we sort of talk about each episode, or each episode becomes a chapter. So now I've got each state is a different chapter of a book. We've already got the sort of background research down. We have that sort of basis to build from for the foundation of a book. And let's just develop that, do more research, go into a bit more, get pictures, so that people who like the podcast can have the companion book. When you don't listen to the podcast, it's a good standalone book. You don't have to listen to the podcast or knows. It's just 50 stories. And we try to keep it sort of lesser known stories. There will be some ones in there that people know about. We've got Tucky Goblins, Skinwalker Ranch. Then there's ones that people may or probably haven't heard of, like Lake Shawnee Amusement Park and Luxor Hotel in Vegas, them type of stories where we're like hoping that it'd be new for people. So that's kind of how that came about. And yeah, about a year after we started thinking about it and started writing it, we published it.
That's amazing. So how do you go about such a thing? I mean, the one thing that I was thinking when I was looking through it was, how do you know you're allowed to use all these pictures? What do you have to do?
So that was mainly my domain, with the pictures. If you look at each picture, there'd be a kind of a credit with it.
Yeah.
So it's got the title of the image and who holds the copyright. And basically, each image has a license.
Yeah.
And some images are public domain. So we credited the sort of the author of the image.
Yeah.
And noted that's public domain. It's not public domain. It's licensed under various different licenses, like CC by SA 2.0. It's a community, it's an online community, Creative Commons, where people say, I'll upload all my photos to this website, and anybody can use these photos for any purpose, as long as I'm credited under this license.
All right. I wondered what that was, because I was looking at that CC by SA and blah, blah, blah.
Yes, it's all quite technical. It's all making sure that, because we wouldn't want to use someone's images like illegally or anything like that and start getting trouble somewhere down the line. So I made sure we were following these, all these people that give information, as long as they're attributed in the by the image. So for each image, you'll see who owns that image and what license we're using to use that image.
Yeah,
I've learned a lot doing this.
I really like the cover image, and it actually features at the beginning of each chapter as well, the map. It's really good, and it's really easy to read as well, because I don't know about you, I've been to about 15 states, but I always forget where they are. Obviously not the ones I've been to, but the ones I haven't been to, I think, is that in the west? And then it's in the east, and you go, I really thought that was over there. So I always find it, I've got a massive map of the United States on my wall in my classroom at school, because I just find it fascinating looking at it.
Extremely, yeah. It's really handy just to even just get some US knowledge behind us, because like you say, I don't know where a lot of these states are apart from like Nevada and Florida and New York and like California and the big ones, Texas, that's the city. So yeah, I came across that map and it was like, oh, actually that's perfect for what we need. So yeah, and like you say, it features on every start of every chapter with that particular state that we're going to be talking about in the chapter highlighted or coloured.
Yeah. There is one thing that I have to say, which is that I was very impressed with. Now,
I was going to be told off then.
No. There's always something. I'm a teacher. No. There's always something, but I'm not going to be mean and horrible and pick out the tiny little things that I'm... No, I was just thinking how well edited it was, because I've got, you know, we both got friends who have published their own books on paranormal things, and I've bought a lot of them, and they vary massively in the quality of the A, the writing, and B, the grammar and the spelling and the punctuation and all that sort of thing. And obviously, I am a bit of a pedant when it comes to that sort of thing. And the one thing that really struck me is that, you know, I've read several chapters and I haven't found one mistake yet. So well done.
Thank you.
Who edited it? Did you both just go through it time and time again?
I'll let us.
Yeah, that was something I was very passionate about. This being our first book, something we put a lot of work into, something that we were both proud of, like creating together and getting out there. I was very kind of anal about getting it right. And I spent so, I mean, the last sort of the month, 6 weeks before we published it, I've read the book so many times, and each time you still spot little things. And even in the day we released, it published on Amazon, and a couple of hours later, it had the look inside option where you could read the first few pages.
Oh, yeah.
On the very first page, there was like half a sentence joining to another sentence. I was like, are you absolutely kidding me? How have I missed this? Don't even know what I've done. I had to quickly go into the manuscript. I don't even know what that line was supposed to be. I just took it out, re-uploaded it, and got it back up. And a couple of hours later, it was approved and the new manuscript was live. But there's one person that messaged with a photo of the error. I was like, well, that's a rare one. That'd be worth more than the others in years to come. But yeah. Yeah, so how we written it was we each took half each. Greg had the first 25 chapters. I had the second 25. Once we had written them each, we then went over each other's, added things, changed things, seen like what we could do different on each one. And then, like I say, went over and over and over it over and over again until I was finally happy with hitting that publish button.
Yeah, no, that's really good. That I can't tell you. There have been a couple of books that I've bought that I haven't been able to read because I've opened them and gone, oh dear me. And it got to the point where I couldn't actually read what was said because it was so horrendous. And I just think, people shouldn't be allowed to do this. But this is amazing. It's fabulous. I mean, it's like a book that you buy from, you know, Waterstones or WH Smith's. So I'm really looking forward. Honestly, I'm really impressed. I've got a bit of the more I'm learning about myself as I get older, we're in the middle of trying to put our eldest through kind of ADHD screening. And as you do these sorts of things and you have children and they have difficulties, and then you realize that it's all your fault because you've got them too. You've passed them on. So I've realized that I probably have ADHD as well and OCD, and I've got a lot of hypersensitivity issues. My other son's hypersensitive, and the one thing that I can't bear is scratchy paper. So you know sometimes when you buy a really cheap book and it's got that awful scratchy paper, and it just sets my nails on edge. I can't bear it. So that was another big plus for me. It's a nice smooth paper.
I was blown away with how good it actually
Yes,
it
and a lovely like waterproof cover, and you know, in a touchy feely way, it's getting 10 out of 10 as well.
So as I find it hard to keep my hands off it, it just like I keep looking at it like it's my baby, like it just comes so good. Because there's quite a few pictures in there. We have 2-3 pictures for every chapter. We did want to do it in colour because obviously there's a lot of pictures. Pictures do look better in colour. But the cost difference from publishing black and white book to a colour book, it wouldn't make it worth it.
Yeah.
You have to charge so much more to people who don't want to pay that price. So we did it in black and white and thought, see how it is. Then mate actually got it before I got a copy. It came out on the Tuesday. He had it by the Thursday. I was like, how the hell got this quick? Not even got our copies yet. He was sending me pictures of different pages, and I was just like, that looks really good. And when our copies finally came, I actually got to hold the book in my hand. Like you say, it's just so well published. It's good quality. The paper's good quality. All the pictures look great. It's just, I did not think it'd be this good just in looking at it. and that side of it, I mean, when you upload to Amazon, it's not an easy task. It's self-published. It's really Amazon self-published program. So not with a publisher, they sort of deal with the covers and the uploading, the format and everything. But you got to do that all yourself when you self-publish. And it is so hard. And then you'll upload it to Amazon, preview it, and it'll look nothing like you want it to look like. So you've got to go back to the Word document, it changes, even the page numbers and headers, footers, where you line up images, and then re-upload it, see what it looks like. It doesn't look right again. Do it all again. And do that. So for it to come out as well as it's done, it's just been amazing. Like, so I've had books of people that have published on Amazon and the sentences and words all over the place and don't follow on properly because the way the formatting hasn't been done properly. But like with the editing, I made sure and did it time and time again to get it perfect. And I think it shows in the final copy.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So what's next then? What book are you doing next? What series have you done next? Sorry, I haven't been keeping up. I'm a terrible listener. What's your next series? Oh, is it a secret, Greg? You're looking...
Well, it is a kind
cloak
of a secret.
And dagger there.
It is kind of a secret. So we didn't say it on the last podcast we did.
Okay. So I don't want to press you.
No. You're a friend of the show, as per the person that we spoke to yesterday, but you come on our round tables, all that kind of stuff. So it's only right that we give you some tidbits. So we have...
World exclusive.
World exclusive. So after we'd done the Paranormal United States, we then started looking at what other series we could do. So we've done a series around the monsters of the Fallout series of computer game, Fallout 76 computer game, of which we looked at. That's based in West Virginia, and there's lots of interesting creatures that are seen in that particular area, and the computer game is based around that. And we've done a mini series around that. But then we decided that we'll bring it a bit closer to home, being in the UK. Because I thought while we were doing the American one was, okay, how can we do it in England? How can we do it in Great Britain? What have we got a lot of in Great Britain that are potentially haunted pubs? So we do an episode now that we've been doing for about a year now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
must be about a year. Where we take a pub each in a particular section of the UK. We started right at the top. It's called a haunted pub crawl. And we decided we'd start at the top and work our way down the whole of Great Britain, stopping in at all these different haunted pubs around.
Oh, yes, I have heard that. Yeah.
So our next book that is already being written as we speak, and it'll probably be split into a few different sort of parts because we're doing two a week, so we've done like 100-odd pubs already, and that's quite a lot to put in one book. So we're starting off with the haunted pub crawl. First one will be Scotland, so all the ones based in Scotland that we've been to, that we'll just sort of, like we've done with the United States, we'll just elaborate a little bit more, put some pictures in, because sometimes people don't know we do a video version of these episodes that people can watch on YouTube. But a lot of people listen on audio, which I get, and we talk about the pictures that we've got in the background. So this will highlight and visualize a lot for people.
Yeah.
That's a world exclusive. No one else knows that at all. Only me and Ash know that. Well, did
and the next challenge is to actually go on it. go on the haunted pub crawl.
Yeah, definitely.
We've put a map in the front of the book of how they lead on to each other.
Yeah, definitely.
Or in the middle, definitely. Maybe.
That is a very good idea. Fold out map.
Yeah. There you go.
So it's currently under construction, as they say.
Yeah, because don't you, if I imagine this, or do you have some little like sound bites of like glasses tinkling and stuff like that? Have I made that up?
Our intro music has got some people talking in a bar and some glasses chinking and
Oh, brilliant. Oh, that's so exciting.
Aside from that, though, that's the book that we're doing together.
Yeah.
Whilst we've been writing Paranormal United States, I've also been writing my own book.
Oh, my goodness.
Kind of a solo adventure. I've been writing this since December. And this is obviously based on my work in the UFO field in the UK.
Yeah.
And this is due to be published in the second week of September. So I'm getting towards the very final. Again, getting to that editing stage, the formatting stage of this book. And this would be, so basically UFO Identified. We have the biggest database of UFO reports in the UK made recently.
Yeah.
And on our website, we collect, people submit sighting reports to us. We go out and investigate them if we can. And all that sort of stuff as part of our research. So this book is 102 reports that have been submitted to us since 2020. So it's a book on recent UFO reports, sightings made over the past couple of years in the UK. And exclusive, most of them, because not been reported previously. But kind of only been reported to us. So yeah, I've been working on that. And that will be out in next 2 or 3 weeks, which I'm also very excited about.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. So, and you two have full-time jobs as well.
Yeah.
I bet that's something that Hillbilly Horror Stories or whatever don't do, because I bet
correct.
Their whole time is their podcast, isn't it?
Yeah.
But
and they actually wrote the foreword. They wrote the foreword in the book as well.
I saw that.
I reached out to Jerry and they, like I say, they were giving us some good advice when we went on their show. So, yeah, it was an honour, as he put. It was an honour to ask him and get a response so quickly, yeah. We were just, it would have been published slightly quicker and slightly earlier, but it was just the forward that we were waiting for, and it was worth it, so.
Yeah. Okay, wow, so you've been really busy, both of you. I feel really bad now, because for the past 10 years, every summer, I've gone, I'm going to write my book, because I've got all these ideas for a children's book, and every summer I write a few more notes, and every summer I don't get around to writing it. And I've got what, a week and a half now before I go back to school, and I still haven't done it this year, and every year I go, I should have just written my book. So what
I was going to say, two of us definitely helps, because there are times where, like, I'll text Ash and say, look, I've got a banging headache and we've had a really long day at work, and we do it tomorrow night, and we'll shift things around, or we'll so it is, I think if there was just me, probably I would have had a bit of podcast fade right in the early days, but because we speak to each other all the time basically, and then we're like, if we're not messaging each other about things, and we're talking on Zoom or Zencast or talking to guests in the round tables, trying to find guests, so we're always sort of talking to each other. And I think that's the tip, really. I think with two of us, we've always got to be sort of on our game, as it were.
Yeah.
And there are times where I'd be like, mate, I've had a really long day and I'm knackered. And then we'll go, no, don't worry. Let's have a couple of days where we don't do anything, or stuff like that, just to recuperate. Because one episode a week for nearly last 3 years minimum, and we've been up to two episodes quite rapidly. Plus more sometimes. Sometimes there's more episodes. It's like another full-time job that we don't get any holiday. we're constantly doing it.
We do bonus content for Patreon and all other stuff that a lot of people don't see. I mean, I think, like Greg said, there's two of us, and there's a lot of times where I've been, I really don't want to do this today. But I don't want to let Greg down, so I'll do it. I only missed one episode. I only actually missed one episode, which was a couple of weeks ago, and I was ill, and I was like, I didn't want to do it, and I didn't want to cancel the interview either. So Greg did it on his own. This was the first time I'd missed an episode in nearly 3 years, and I felt so bad, and I just gutted to miss it. But on the whole, yeah, I think we bounce off each other really well.
Yeah,
and if we go away for a week, then Greg would sort of pick up bits that I would do, and likewise, there's always one of us is there to kind of carry stuff on if you one needs a few days off or whatever. So, like, say if I was on my own, I'd have probably given it in and just done the UFO stuff.
It's hard though.
It's really hard. I mean, I've just had a 3 month break because various reasons. I was burnt out, and my son was doing his GCSEs and really struggling, and I just took a break. And now I feel really bad, like I've kind of abandoned everything, and then you have to get back into it. But it's really hard.
It is,
you know, and keeping up with trying to keep up with the social media and the editing, and sometimes you just think, I just can't do this week.
Yeah.
So I can understand that it helps to have someone there to do it with and to kind of G you up or to help you or to go, it's all right, mate, don't worry, we won't do it today, sort of thing. Because it is, you know, it's all about self-motivation, and it is harder by yourself, I think.
Yeah, we're fortunate that the topics we cover, especially like the UFO and UAP stuff, at the moment there's quite a lot of new content coming through, so we've got quite a lot to talk about quite a lot of the time. Whereas in the paranormal side, it doesn't tend to, there's no groundbreaking discoveries or congressional hearings every few months or so. So that side of it is where we get the guests on to talk about their experiences and whatnot, rather than trying to break the news as it were, like we've done with the UFO stuff. But so it's actually really good, because we both come from the paranormal side, Ash from the UFO side, and we've kind of crossing and merging with our sort of understanding and our knowledge. Because way back when UFO stuff to me was, I knew about it, all that kind of, some of the main histories, but I didn't really, nowhere near like Ash, still nowhere near like Ash and some of the people we speak to. But I feel now that I've got a bit more of an understanding of what's going on in the UAP side of it, with the hearings going on. So I've learned a lot about that side of it, and all these weird cryptid stuff that I never spoke about before. So it's been really good. To the fact that the episodes are different every week, we try and mix it up, get some UFO ones, we've had past life regression, we've had all sorts of people, so it's a bit of a whirlwind at times, but it's good fun. And I've got a very good person to do it with.
Feeling like the love.
and I got to say, I think we're closing in on 300 episodes since we started nearly 3 years ago, and there's only been one episode where I thought that was awful. I don't even want to put that out.
I know which one that is as well.
and that just goes to how, I mean, the guests and the topics we cover, where there's only been one where I thought, I don't want to put this one out. I enjoy the last episode we did as much as I enjoyed making the first one. It's just something that's just been something I really look forward to doing every week. Well, numerous times a week, most weeks. Look forward to getting home, getting set up on the mic and seeing what we're going to talk about tonight.
Yeah.
It's funny because I've got somebody I work with has just started listening to the first ones that we did. He started right at the beginning. I'm like, hey, don't. He goes, no, they're really interesting. The Owie one's really interesting. I said, you will not believe how long that took us to record that. We just sat there laughing at each other for about 2 hours, just really awkward sort of content.
Being embarrassed to speak and stuff.
Whereas now, somebody messaged us and said, oh, we're looking to do the podcast for about need about an hour's worth of content, if that's all right. Do you think we'll get that? I said, mate, you'll probably be showing us up at about an hour. Saying, come on.
It's true, though. Once you get the hang of it, you realise that you just need to be natural. Because when I listen back, my husband's, not criticism, but the thing that he said about me was, he says, you sound like you're doing a TV broadcast. You need to be just chatty. It was like I was super aware of myself. So I was being all, and this is Paranormal or What with Michaela, and hello, how are you all? And even though I'm a trained actress, I went to drama school and everything, somehow I was trying to act instead of being myself. And it does take a while, actually, just to try and be natural and just be yourself. And you can hear the difference massively when you listen back. I listen to Monsters Among Us. And every now and then I'll go back to the beginning again and start. And I actually sit and go, oh, my goodness, Derek, what were you doing? and I haven't gone back to the beginning and listened to yours yet. So
we shall see. Please don't.
I won't listen to my own because I don't think I could bear it. But but it does take a while to chill out, doesn't it?
It does. It does. And you mentioned about editing being a challenge. Right at the start, it was horrific. And as we've got further along doing, particularly the ones where we're not speaking to guests and we're doing like the mini ones, we kind of just get there. We just press record, nod our head, and then we're into it and we just bash them out now. Whereas right at the start, we were just looking at each other and then one of us would start laughing. And then about 5 minutes later, we'd start again. So I think we're quite fortunate now that because we've been doing it for so long and so many hours just talking to each other, like you say, because it's more of a chat now, the editing's so much less. We just kind of clip a few bits or if something went wrong, we clip that bit out, just adjust the sound levels pretty much.
Yeah.
Sort of put the intros in and stuff. And it does make life a lot easier, a lot easier.
Yeah. I must say that I feel the same because when I have people on, usually, unless it's a difficult interview, usually it's only the beginning and the end that need editing and the rest of it's just sort of natural and it just flows. Yeah. Whereas I have had one or two people where it's taken a few hours.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay, maybe I want Harry to have you back on then.
yeah, we've had a few like that.
Well, I'm just so excited about it. I have got one final question about the book. Just out of nosiness, really. So the front of the book says Paranormal, United States. Mm-hmm. Why did you decide to do it like that? Just out of interest.
It was just the sizing of the font, and because we wanted Paranormal United States, and Paranormal's really quite long.
Yeah.
And United States, I was trying to just get it in a bit of a block, and it just fell like that. And I could have put it as Paranormal, but the fact that it's like Paranormal, and it's just not right. Like, it's not normal. It's
but that was, it's kind pure of like a play on words, isn't it? It's like, it kind of makes you feel slightly uncomfortable.
Yeah,
which is kind of the whole point, because it's paranormal, it's not normal, and it makes you go, ooh, that's different. My brain doesn't like that, but then it's the whole point of it. So it's very clever, actually.
It was trying to just get the block and the width right all the way down, really, so it looked all right in the sort of the dimensions that I had to work with, but. So to begin with, I didn't even think about the fact, I could see it didn't look quite right, but the fact that it, like you mentioned, the fact that it doesn't look quite right almost adds to it, but yeah.
It does. It's kind of like, it's what it says on the tin.
Mm. Yeah.
Very good. Well, I do urge everybody who's listening to go and buy Paranormal United States by Ashley Gray. It is edited well. It's nice paper. It's got a lovely smooth cover. and it doesn't have any spelling mistakes. So 10 out of 10 as far as I'm concerned. And besides
got
that,
better marks than at school. Yeah.
Yeah. I love it when you end up researching things that you didn't know about yourself. I have to say, like you mentioned, Greg, that the things that I've learned about since I started doing my podcast, I came into this just talking about ghosts. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea about all the cryptids that are out there and different types of entities. And it's been a huge learning curve. And it must have been to you as well while you were researching the book. Were there quite a lot of things that you thought, okay, it's my turn to do Indiana. I don't know anything about Indiana. Let's research. And then you sort of
that was essentially it.
Oh, wow. Whoa, Indiana. Look what's going on in Indiana sort of thing.
Yeah, because we had a big list. There's a funny story about the alphabet. Depending on which website you go to, depends on whether or not you actually get one of the states missing.
Oh, which my just, goodness.
And we weren't both on the same list, fortunately. So that's another story. I'd forgotten about that till just then. But what we did was we listed eight whichever, Wyoming, I think that's the last one. And then it was like Ash Greg. So it was alternate alphabetical order. And it was right at the start, it was like, say, Indiana. Okay. Indiana hauntings or Indiana weird stuff. Weird stuff came up. That was quite a good search field. And then you go, oh, okay, that looks, because like we'd know what we'd done previous, like prisons, penitentiary sanitariums, all those kind of spooky places, and we didn't want it like every chapter to be about haunted hospitals, and because there's a lot of them in America.
Yeah,
and we found a lot of the states had the most haunted whatever in the country or in the world. So every state holds the record for the world's most haunted pub. So we were trying to get a bit of a mix. Really, it was nice to be able to just. Like we've got lake monsters, like loads of hauntings around lakes and bridges. It was interesting to just see what else was out there apart from the typical haunted hospital or haunted prison, that kind of thing, which, like I say, there's tons of them.
One of my favourites was the haunted battleship, which is the USS Salem.
Yep.
Because we like the Massachusetts episode. Or chapter, I was like, oh, you got Salem, you could do that. And for all the USS Salem, which is that battleship, and so it's like, oh, haunted battleship, there's something different, something I've never heard about before. It's just cool to see. And in writing the book, because we'd done the episodes of the podcast like for the previous year, we were going back and revisiting that research and going into it a bit deeper. So it was good to sort of revisit all these places and find out what new stuff we could find to add to the book version. So yeah. It was a really enjoyable process.
Although I have to say that whoever named that ship, I could have told them a thing or two before they gave it a name. Like, excuse me, that's not going to be a lucky name for that ship. USS
Absolutely.
Salem. Why are you naming it after one of the most unlucky towns in America? That's not going to bode well. And so it
exactly. But yeah, it was super interesting, and especially like you get places like New York, and there's sort of like a rich history of just all manner of, you've got gang related stuff there and the mob and all that. So there's lots of trauma anyway. And we did find trauma attracts a lot of this stuff. And then, so I did New York, and it was typed in New York weird stuff and hauntings. And it was like the death house. I was like, right, that'll be the one. And then yeah. It was just interesting to find this particular residential address. And then you found out and Mark Twain had stayed there, and then people had seen his ghost there, and there was just, yeah, it was really interesting to see and see some of the stuff that you probably wouldn't normally see. I mean, we did do Skinwalker. That was, we almost had to do that. But Nevada, we didn't do Area 51 because that's quite a lot of weird stuff happens out there.
Yeah.
And we went for the Luxor Hotel because that has all been known to be haunted right from when it was starting to be built. So, yeah, it was super interesting. And listening to, like, Ash do his episodes, and you're like, oh, my God, that's dark. Or
yeah, well, that makes it interesting for you both anyway, doesn't it? Because you both sat listening to something that you didn't know about.
Exactly. And we don't know what each other was going to do each time, like we do with the pub episode now. We come on and we have no idea which pub the other person's doing until we start recording.
Oh my goodness.
We just hope it's not the same.
I was going to say, has there ever been a time where it was the same one?
Not yet. Came
very close this weekend.
Oh, we did.
You'd looked at and was deciding between the two, and he chose the other one, and I chose the one that he was going to do.
Oh my goodness.
We should communicate a little bit more on that.
Well, I suppose if you do the same one, you could go, ah, but did you know? Ah, but did you know?
So I think that makes it a bit more fresh as well, because we don't, and like when we interview guests, we don't really have any questions lined up for them unless there's something specific we want to talk to them about. It's almost just like, tell us about yourself and then we'll go with it. We've been lucky that seems to have created a more natural flow for us, because right at the beginning we scripted loads of stuff and we were like reading it, and then I'm sure I haven't even listened to it, but I'm sure it sounds that bad. Whereas now I've got the computer in front of me, and then that's it basically, and a glass of water, and that's away it. We go.
Flying by the seat of your pants.
Always. It works in my work life, so why not in my personal life?
So I just wanted to ask you both before we go on to a different subject. Greg, have you been to America? And if so, where?
Yep, I've been to America several times. I've been to New York a couple of times. I've been to Florida a couple of times. I've been to Vegas twice. Been out to Area 51 both times, which is cool. Hired a car and went out there. So the picture in the back of the book, if you look at the picture of in the back of the book,
is it with my name, Greg?
should be. That is me standing at the outskirts of Area 51.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And in the background, you can't really see it, but it's a FLIR it's a radar system and drone detection system in the background.
Yeah.
And just up on my left shoulder, right as you're looking at it, but my actual left shoulder, just up on the ridge there, is the camo dudes. I've got loads of photos of the camo dudes. And they moved when we started putting cameras at them. And yeah, really cool. So I've been out there twice now.
Are they as angry as people say, or did you not have an altercation with them?
Didn't have any altercation, but they don't like to be in photographs. Yeah. I pointed the camera up at them, and the group of us that went, they were in the background, and we started to take a photograph, and they reversed behind a cactus at the top of the... It's quite a weird place, and that's like the particular... The closest bit to the main road, and it's about 20 minutes drive off the main road down the gravel trackway, so it's quite So you basically go past the mailbox, the famous mailbox, which was white, not black, when I went there, and... drive all the way down this road, and when you think you're not anywhere near anywhere, you sort of turn this corner and you can see in the embankment these camo dudes parking up, and then you sort of come around a corner and you're at that famous bit where it says you're going to be shot and all that kind of stuff. And it's like a little line on the road, and you know that's the line.
There's
no sign
in the sand. The line in the sand.
It's almost like, you know, going over that is not a good idea. But you're out of the car. There was a couple of other groups of people there. But it's the middle of nowhere, nothing to see, and it was such a cool thing. So that had to go in the book.
Yeah.
But
I don't
Nevada,
think I'd dare go down there.
It's cool. It is cool.
I'd be at the
Hi.
mailbox going, I can't go any further. We're not allowed.
So it's really cool. So yeah, I've been to a few places. I love it out there. I've got an old school friend that lives out in Kentucky. Old work colleague, he lives in North Carolina. Not that I've been over to see him or anything like that, but it is a place that both me and Ash have talked about a lot. There it is. It's wild. Don't get me wrong, America's wild, but it's such a fascinating, diverse place. So,
it really is.
In How a nutshell, you? Yeah.
Yay. How about you, Ash?
Yeah, been 4 or 5 times across the States. Florida is just amazing. The theme parks, the touristy stuff, Universal and Disney. I'd love to go to Nevada, to go to A51, anything like any
Me too.
Kind of UFO fan. It's just that like holy grail of places. Then either Nevada or go down to Roswell in New Mexico, probably the two places that I'd love to be able to go. But yeah, maybe America's at the minute, probably not the best time to go, but in the future, hopefully. Sometime we'll get back out there.
I do feel like maybe there should be some sort of UK podcast trip, and we should all go and decide where we're going, and then go to a few different places. I think that
That'd
would be
cool.
Amazing.
I and RV for a couple of weeks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I did that when I was there as a student. We did this thing called Drive Away, which is where you deliver people's cars. And we delivered a car from Massachusetts to Georgia. So we basically drove down the whole of the East Coast. And so these companies, it's for people who've moved house. So somebody had moved house from Massachusetts to Georgia and they needed their car transporting. And so it's a cheap way of getting from A to B. So basically they insure you up to the hilt, and then you're kind of, I think you pay a nominal fee. We didn't pay much at all. And it was just that we had to pay for all the petrol, obviously. And we had a certain amount of days to get there. I think they gave us a week to get from A to B. And then what we did on the way was up to us, really. And it's a brilliant way of getting around America because you just literally deliver cars from here to there and here to there.
That's amazing.
It is. And we had this massive kind of big cruise control thing. In fact, we slept in it one night. We weren't really meant to do that. But it's a great way of getting around. So, yeah, road trip. American road trip.
Yeah, sounds good.
As I'm very good to meet you. So the next thing I want to come on to now is the fact that I spotted on my social media, because I am such an eagle-eyed woman, that you were paying a little trip to my haunted hotel. To my hotel, because it is my hotel, because it's weird, isn't it, how you consider these places. I've been there, so therefore anybody who goes after me is going to my hotel. So how was it at my hotel, boys? Tell me what happened, and what did you find?
So we were very fortunate.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah, it was really good, really good. We were very fortunate because we've spoken to Danny on many occasions. We were like, he's like, oh, you guys are going to have to come up, and when you come up, we'll do some recording and all this kind of stuff. So it's like, yep. So we managed to arrange for us to go up, and yeah, we spent pretty much the night there. And from the moment we got there, it's just such a lovely place. It's beautiful to look out from the outside. And we had a little walk around while we were waiting to go in, and like the pub was really nice at the bottom. Right from the first room we went into, it all kicked off basically. So in room 5 to begin with. So we were so fortunate that we had a really active night.
Oh, wow. So tell me what happened in room 5. Did you get the massive bang? The thing that really freaked me out when we were there is And because something was going off in room six at the same time, it's not on the program that we were on. But this massive bang from the, you know, the void where they say the old fireplace was. So the void behind the bed, basically. Yep. And nobody knows what's in that bit there. And it sounds like, for all the world, somebody's got a mechanical boot full of cement and that occasionally it kicks the wall. Well, I mean, obviously they couldn't do that, but we were in there and the whole room shook. It went bang! And it was like, whoa! Did you have anything like that?
Well, we had... So we started off in room five and we just sat there and we basically doing the usual, calling out, asking for anything that's there to make a noise, make an attack, make let us know. And just heard a thought coming from near the bathroom door area. I said, oh, is that you? Can you do it again? Did it again from the same place. And the person we're with says, just confirm that was you. Can you do it twice? Just so we know that you're responding to us. Clear as day, now we get two knocks. At this point, I'm sat on the third bed, sort of near towards room six, the wall. I heard a 100% definite baby crying.
Oh, wow.
Wailing. And I looked like, oh my God, look at them two. And they weren't responding. Like, I was like, can you not hear, like, can you not hear that baby crying? It's loud. They couldn't hear anything. And then just after that, there was a proper louder on the door to room five, which was to my left, to proper clear as day knocks on the door. So at this point, we had the radio. So we radioed down to Danny in the control room. It was like, we've had responses to ask it to knock. I said I heard a baby crying from near towards room six. And just someone just knocked on the door. Like, clear as anything, someone just knocked on the door. So it's like, okay, give me a couple of minutes. I'll check the footage. 5 minutes later, he says, like, I'll come up and I'll show you. Like, he comes up with his phone, shows us the footage on his phone. Yeah, so he's got the camera outside the door. You can see no one's in the corridor outside. Camera on us. And he said that nobody in the room six at the time. The other guests were at the other part of the hotel. And clear as loud as anything. Two loud bangs on the door. So that was really, really mad. No, we couldn't hear the baby crying. So I thought, 100% sure he must have picked up. It was that clear. It's like a wailing. It was really. I mean, it's like, how did nobody else hear this? And when we were in this room, we weren't having any our own equipment in there. We were just calling out. We didn't have our cameras on at this point or anything. We were just sort of getting started. So it was only the hotel cameras that caught all of this. And that was just that's how the night started. And then from then on, it just got weirder. I'll carry on, Greg, the next room.
Yeah, so we went into room six.
My favorite.
So we were really interested in getting into that room because we had seen video footage from some time ago. We discussed it on a Facebook Live that we were doing, actually, around the footage of this apparition going past the window in room six.
Yeah.
So it was interesting to go into the room and actually sort of have a close look at the window and see what's out there as such. And still can't figure out how this thing was, where it was, doing what it was doing. So that was
it's
really
a tin
interesting.
Roof, isn't it? It's basically there's a tin roof about 2 feet under the windowsill. So if anybody was going across there, you'd be able to hear them.
Yeah. So we just started doing some calling out. Ash put the camera up filming sort of from the bed to the window. And they got the chair in the middle, and we'd put some K2 meters around and just started calling out. And then the person that we were with, she said that she's saying she just felt a bit pissed off, but didn't know why. She just about a bit sort of wasn't feeling quite right, but just felt a bit, I don't know what the exact wording she said now, but it was sort of like a bit, just feel a bit sad and a bit pissed off, but couldn't figure out why. And so I called out and said, oh, if that's that's you who's affecting her. Can you make a knock or make a noise? Clear as day, two knocks on the window.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so we got that.
Did you rush to the window and look out?
No, it was the weirdest thing that night. We were just like, when everything happened, we were like elated rather than shocked or thinking, oh no, like, let's see what that was. I think because we knew that there was cameras everywhere, we'd got a camera pointing at the window, there's a camera in the top corner. We've got a voice recorder that picked up the audio as well as the video. So it was really weird because a lot of the events that happened during the night, obviously we were excited it happened because it's amazing. But I never once felt scared, never once felt nervous or it was just like when these knocks happened, it was just like, oh, cool. And yeah. But there was no, we didn't have any sort of like, it, looking back at it now, there was no, none of us had like this kind of like, oh God, did you hear that type thing? We were like, oh my God, that's brilliant. It was quite a weird sensation considering that when you grow up and all the horror films you watch about paranormal, you're on your edge, you see, especially growing up as a child, watching that kind of stuff, you're just like, oh my goodness, I should be petrified. Then when it happened, it was kind of like, awesome.
Yeah, it's just really exciting, isn't it? But yeah. I have to say, when I was there, I was like a woman on a mission. Because so we had the knocking on the door of room 5, and I was there like a shot, pulling that door off. We're going, where is it? Where is it? Where is it? And it happened a lot when we were in room 3 as well. But I was kind of the opposite. It was almost like, I've got to find out where it's coming from. Got to find out. So every time there was a knock or a noise, I was there like opening doors and pressing on floorboards. And the thing that absolutely did my head in was we were staying in room 3 the first time we were there, and quite a lot of times we heard somebody walking up and down the corridor, and you could hear it plain as day. You could literally hear each footstep on the creaky floorboards, and it started to drive me crazy because I was kind of hiding inside room 3. Every time I heard a creak on that corridor, I whipped the door open and I was looking outside going, where is it? Where is it? And I was even stood there and I could hear it happening in front of me, but I couldn't see anything. And it started to drive me a bit crazy because it was like, you know, if I open my eyes wider, maybe I'll be able to see it, sort of thing. But I couldn't see anything.
Yeah, it's a great place. And continuing in room 6, Ash done the Estes method. We sat him down in the middle on a chair in the middle, and we were just doing the normal stuff, and then Ash sort of put his arm out to the side, like to his right hand side, and afterwards he was saying that it felt like there was somebody there.
Felt like the floor depresses when someone stood on it.
Yeah,
that's what it felt like. Like it felt like the floor had shifted as if someone was stood there. I put my arm out to signify. So when we watched the footage back, it was at this point where felt it, and I thought it could be Greg, but then I don't think Greg would do that while I'm doing the Estes method. He wouldn't sort of kind of come into my space while I'm doing it. And what the Estes, nothing really sort of came through the Estes, apart from there's one point where, because when you're doing the Estes method, you just hear the spirit box going through the channels, and that's the constant noise that you just tune into. That's what sort of goes into your head. There's a point where it went completely silent, and the voices, a man's voices went, thank you. And then it went, ch-ch-ch-ch. So just like it stopped.
Oh, wow.
And this thing come through. And it felt quite emotional. I was like, that was just so unexpected. And I didn't know what to make of it. It's like, it just completely, like the spirit box stopped. And then he went, thank you. And then it carried on. I was like, what? It was just so like bizarre. I really didn't know how to respond to it. So that was just insane to hear.
Yeah, it's a crazy place.
So So did you go into room 8 at all?
Yes.
What was that like? You see, I did find, I don't know if I'd built it up in my head, but I did find it quite weird feeling. How descriptive, Michaela. But it was just felt weird, a bit kind of uncomfortable. How did you two find it?
Yeah, I mean, I was looking forward to going in there because I said to Danny, we were in the brothel area. I was like, can we go into room 8 yet? And he was like, yeah, you can go up there in a minute. And we went in there because smell like this, like a wild garlicky kind of smell in there. A lot of people said that they could smell garlic in there as well. But yeah, I mean, it's a weird to go in that. It's different to when you see it on the YouTube channel or the videos. Obviously, it's from a different angle and a bit higher up. I got in there and it's just weird. It's just a weird place, that room. Yeah, I was sort of like looking at the doll going, are you going to move? And like, I don't know. I know Danny's had a massively weird experience in there when he was on there on his own, and it like he's shouting the thing and that. But like, so we took an Alice box with us into the room, and up to that point, it'd given us one word answers, quite irrelevant, nothing really that you could. You'd be stretching if you kind of tried to connect any of the words to anything you were saying. It was like completely random, which is obviously good, but and we were saying we were in room 1 before that and it was spewing out the words. It was like and we discussed the fact that people have a conversation with this Alice box based on the last word that it says. So if it says like shotgun, you go, oh, what do you mean by a shotgun, blah blah blah, rather than just having a conversation and see if it sort of interacts with the conversation.
Yeah.
So just spewing out one word answers, completely random, proper random stuff. And then went into room 8 and it got a bit weird. It started spewing out multiple words and sentences rather than single random words. So Danny was like, oh, I don't put anything in that. It's just... it's what it is, the Alice box, which is, but in that room, it kind of was a bit more.
It kind of came to life almost.
Yeah, kind of a bit more sort of structured and a bit more relevant.
And it's all negative words.
Yeah, negative words. Yeah. So what was the sentence that it said?
I've been racking my brains. I can't think what it said.
I believe.
There's a few.
There was a few, but at one point it says, this is where I was murdered, or this is.
Yes.
I was murdered here. I was murdered here, or something like that.
Oh my goodness. That's been said a lot of times at the hotel. That sentence has been uttered a lot.
Mm. At the Alice box, it didn't say any kind of relevant or meaningful words up until we started getting in there. And it like Ash said, it became quite negative, which is weird.
I think that's happened.
Yeah, it said get out at one point, yeah.
Yeah. It's happened in room 5 and in the brothel, and I think they thought that it was one of the prostitutes that was saying it. And I think they've even said it in room 6, so that's really interesting.
Mm. Yeah. So we got all of that on voice recorder and such like, so yeah, it was a weird room.
Then after that, well, before I went to room 8, after we'd been in room 5 and 6, we went down to the brothel room for a bit, and it got really weird in the brothel room from the start. We were all sat at the big table. We had the Powercast going off and we had the camera set up. I put my GoPro full spectrum camera on the edge of the table, but a viewing table and us. And we just sat down. I was sat opposite Lane that was with us. Greg was sat on the far end, at the head of the table, sat in his throne.
Obviously.
and I felt the table kind of shifting to me. There's someone had pushed it into me. So I was like, okay. I was like, did you feel that? And the lady we were with said, yeah, I think Greg just kicked the leg. And Greg was like, what? I'm nowhere near the leg. I've not done anything. I didn't even know it had moved or anything. I didn't feel anything. So I tried to recreate it. So to get the same kind of movement, I had to really put my arms on and really use my whole body weight to kind of recreate that same movement at the table. And so no, it couldn't have been any of us. And when we reviewed the footage on my camera, the camera jumps like it's been knocked, and you hear thud, and it's like a proper thud from underneath the table. We're all just sat like casually there, so none of us, no one's banged the table, no one's moved. It's just this thud. The camera jumps up as if it's been hit from underneath. And so that was the sign that was straight away. We got that happening, and we got a thud on the table. Again, that sounded like it came from underneath the table.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, and we were asking questions about the power cast going on that was spitting out the horrible noise that it spits out, and the occasional word. And at one point, and I'm convinced, I've sent Greg footage. It says "Hello, Greg" on this power cast.
Wow!
And then we ask at one point, and this is we've got all this on camera. Greg asks, after we've had this knock and stuff, said, "Are you the entity that's in room 5 with us? Are you with us here now?" Yes, comes through clear as day on the power cast.
Oh wow!
And then they top it all off. The lady we were with says that can you copy me? If you're hearing me, can you copy this pattern? And goes a couple of seconds later, the exact same pattern, rhythm, speed, come from like the bar area that's like just behind where we were sitting. Like the exact same.
Oh, it's
absolutely insane. We were like, Danny, we just had this. Can you look at this? Then he comes out with his like handheld videos. Like, what's just happened? And then in the VXX episode, he used my footage of the table thump and the Dempsey Knox like, in the actual My Haunted Hotel episode.
Yeah.
Because it was amazing stuff that we captured.
The funniest thing is, I was speaking to Ash about it afterwards because I've got it downloaded on my phone, and obviously you get stereo speakers on the phones nowadays, like from the top and the bottom of the phone.
Yeah.
So I was watching back to the footage of the table being whacked from underneath with the GoPro. And I said to Ash, because it's in stereo speaker, you can hear which direction this knock is coming from. And it's so it was coming from the opposite side to where Ash was. And you can all like it's the corner where none of the three of us were at, and and you can tell which sort of part of the table it was, and it's a massive thud. I didn't even know it happened. It was only because these two said, "Did you feel the table move?" And I'm like, "No," and the table leg that I could have kicked was quite a stretch from this throne I was sat on. And you can see I don't even move, so I was just sat there.
Yeah, also the table's so heavy.
It's massive.
That if you did kick it, it would barely make an impact in it.
Yeah, it's a huge table. It doesn't come across in the video, but it's like a thick wooden long, like almost like where a board of directors would have a meeting table, one of those big long lawyer ones. It's
or
huge.
Almost like the Knights of the Round Table type table, the really thick kind of massive
solid thing, yeah.
Thing.
Yeah, so for that to whack from under, and it clearly whacks from underneath. I'll send you the footage. It's really interesting to see. Really interesting. So we had an amazing night. Amazing night. It was really good fun.
And did you attempt to sleep there?
No, I had to get back. So we left. So we had a quick interview with Danny and Harry. After sort of most people went out of the room.
Yeah.
Just so we could have a chat to Harry, really, about his start of the hotel and how he got into it and whatnot, rather than everybody says more of Danny and maybe Brett as the sort of the faces, the proper faces of the show and whatnot. Yeah. So it was good to chat to both of those at the end of the night about some of the history of of his ownership and where he'd how he'd got to that. So that was nice. And then yeah, I got in at like 7 o'clock in the morning or something ridiculous like that.
Oh wow.
Yeah, it's a bit of a trek.
Next time I'd like to stay over. It's
yeah.
I like say you have to room all night until so you could do like an all night investigation if you wanted to. Is that something I would like to do an all night investigation.
It is nice to do that, although both times I think we've only lasted until about four. Because the adrenaline goes when Danny and the others go, the adrenaline kind of leaves you and you're suddenly absolutely knackered and you're like, we must keep on investigating. Yeah. And then you're like... But absolutely. Actually, both times I've stayed there, I found it really hard to sleep. I just couldn't shut off. I wasn't scared. I felt much more uncomfortable in room six than I did in room three. But and I had a really weird experience during the night in room six. But it's like I couldn't relax. I couldn't relax enough to go to sleep. So I was just kind of in and out of, you know, just the really lightest sleep that you have. And then when I woke up, just as I was opening my eyes in the morning, this man's voice, really, really deep, loud voice, right next to my ear. I opened my eyes and this voice went, hello, next to my, and I turned around to my friends in Dell and went, did you just say that? Even though I knew it was a man's voice, like really deep, right next to my ear. She wasn't there and she's not a man. She was like, no. Like, a man just said hello to me in a really deep voice. So that was really weird. So it is worth staying overnight, although it is quite odd.
Yeah, I think that would freak me out quite a bit, yeah. But yeah, no, it's a great place. It was slickly run, and the fact that you can like speak to them straight away on the walkie-talkies, we thought that was brilliant. That we could say, right, we've had this, or if we heard anything, we'd timestamp it on the phone so we could say to them it happened at this time. So at least you could almost forget about a lot of equipment. You can just sort of almost just do it knowing full well that somebody else is taking care of a lot of the
that sort of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was quite nice.
I think we used the digital voice recorder the most, actually.
We've got a lot of that ready to go on our Patreon that we can put up and people can just hear the whole sort of like raw audio footage of the night.
Oh, wow. That'll be fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's good. Yeah.
Well, how exciting. It's been amazing to speak to you again. I can't believe that you're so busy. I think you need extra days in the week, don't you? And extra hours in the day to be able to fit in everything that you've got. You certainly need staff, I think. You need you need some secretaries or whatever.
Yeah, it's trying to get booked, like, trying to book guests and keep track of when you're speaking to people can be a bit problematic.
Now I understand why people on other podcasts get people to run their kind of social media and stuff like that. Because you must get to the point where you think, I just can't do all this. There's just too much.
And the thing is, Ash is doing the UFO stuff as well. So he's sort of almost doubling his work a lot of the time. Yeah. But it works out well. We've got our own bits that we do, like we take care of certain bits each. And we've got a merch store, so we're selling merch and trying to do all the orders.
When
people place the orders, getting the merch out to them. And,
so where do people buy the merch? Do they buy it on the Facebook page or your web page?
Straight on the website, superparanormal.co.uk/shop. You can get to it from the homepage anyway. You can use Apple Pay, Android Pay, whatever the thing is. There's all sorts of PayPal credit if you're that way inclined.
Oh my goodness.
Books available on the website as well as on Amazon. So it's Paranormal United States.
Yeah, and the book is actually free postage in the UK, regardless if you buy through the website, which is quite cool.
Oh, there is one more thing, actually. When we finally meet up, because I am, I do keep trying to chase you around the UK, but you're just so busy. I am bringing my book with me, and
yes,
I
please do.
Can you sign it?
100%.
That's something that's so weird, signing books. Because I've had people from my work buy it, my family buy it, my friends buy it, and then I'm signing it. I'm like, what do they say? People want to be like, it's just something that's not even like, you don't even think about that when you write a book. It's like people bought it. It's like, which is the next thing, like, but there are people actually buying the book. Like, this is amazing. Like, we went number one in the paranormal charts, bestsellers on Amazon in the first week of it being published. We were like, what's actually happening? And then people are like, oh, can you sign the book? Can you sign it? I want to sign it. It's like,
people sending selfies with the book, like just photographs of the book in their hand, going, oh, I've got this.
Fantastic.
Mental. Mental.
I thought I would be an original when I sent you that selfie with the book. I was like, oh.
You were last to the party. You're the only one who put a face in it, though. You're the only one who put their face in it. Loads of people just sending us the picture of the book.
All right. There you go. Original in some way, at least.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. No, well, thank you so much for coming on to my meek little podcast and telling us all about your fame and fortune and fun at the Haunted Hotel.
I don't think we've got any fortune or fame, really.
You will.
We got the Paranormal Roundtable coming up again next week, I think. We'll send out the invites for that. So, yeah, that'll be good. And you come back on with us and have another chat.
Yay, that sounds good to me. And I might wear my new t-shirt again. I don't know if you can see it. I'm going to stand up because I'm very proud of this. I went to Corfu and it was just something that really reminded me. I don't know if you can read it backwards there. It's
something somewhere went terribly wrong. Yeah. It's the right way around for us.
Is it? So it's like the origins of man, kind of how they went through, and then at the end there's a kind of weird computer geek at the end.
it's really good.
Just made me laugh so much. I know it's not really paranormal, but it kind of reminded me of Bigfoot somehow.
Talking about
Bigfoot, just to round up, I'm actually tomorrow night, as we're recording this, going on a Bigfoot hunt.
Where are you going?
This is kind of sounds so weird, but there's been reports, there's been multiple reports, independent reports of each other in Widnes. Of all places.
Witness.
So tomorrow night, we've got a crew of us going out to places where this Bigfoot, independently, again, multiple witnesses over multiple years, seeing a 7-foot hairy creature or man in this area of Witness. So we will report back on that next week.
Oh, wow. How exciting. Fantastic.
I've not got time to go to Witness for a Bigfoot hunt, but I'm going anyway.
Yeah, go. Well, I've got a very good friend of mine who's part of it's BBR, her podcast Being Believed research, Deborah Hatswell, and she saw a hairy hominid in the 1970s in central Manchester. So, you know, anything's possible.
Wow.
So, yeah. You should upon her story. It's quite something. So I wish you lots of luck. And I hope you find your hairy friend. And I will speak to you both next week. So
come on. Thank you for having us on.
Thank you to Ash and Greg from Pursuit of the Paranormal.
Thank you, Kayla.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much to Ash and Greg. That was a real pleasure to have a chat with you again. And coming up soon, we have other chats. We're going to do a bit more with Deb and me. And we're going to have Dan Callahan on from My Haunted Hotel. And we're also going to have the lovely ladies from Twin Paranormal on. So it's all to look forward to. Keep spooky. Keep on checking the paranormal news, and I will speak to you very, very soon. Until then, keep enjoying the tots of something hot and fiery. Keep on snuggling by that fire, because it's Halloween coming up soon, so you're going to need your fluffy blankets and your tot of something hot. And remember, together we can figure it out. Night. Thank you.